From the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
There's record-setting pieces of this contract that I knew for a fact was, I thought was going to show him the respect that he deserves. And obviously that hasn't been the case. With that said, you know, we can't lose sight that this isn't about one player. My job is to build a roster that's going to sustain success for a long period of time. And at the end of the day, we got to do, you know, what's best for the Chicago Bears. So I'll take a few questions from you. I just wanted to make sure I got up. I addressed this with you. We know what's going on. And we're doing everything we can to get this done.
Ryan, is your intention to trade him as his request asks for, or do you think something can be worked out?
Right now, my intentions are to sign Roquan to this team. And we're going to take it day by day. And at the end of the day, we got to do what's best for this organization. But my intentions are to make sure Roquan Smith's on this team.
There you go, Ryan Poles. That was about an hour ago, maybe a little over. Bears practice today at Soldier Field. It was family day on a Tuesday at noon.
Every day's family day.
Every day is family day. Yes, and Roquan Smith started today off with the, maybe no coincidence that he did it the day they were going down in front of a bigger crowd, too, at Soldier Field. He's demanding a trade. Ryan Poles did find it necessary to speak. We like that. Courtney Cronin said It was the right play. Let's talk to Barstool Big Cat. Normally joins us on this day on Tuesday because we have White Sox baseball at 2:30. Barstool Big Cat joins us right now.
Barstool Big Cat, host of Pardon My Take and voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Now in the
street there is violence. And Barstool Big Cat is brought to you by the Curcio Law Offices. RJ Curcio on retainer, that's for sure. Well, quite the week for you, my friend.
Yeah, I interviewed a felon. I need RJ on the line because he did try to break my wrist and hugged me after the interview, and I didn't consent to it. So we got some good stuff that we could maybe finally pin on Aaron Rodgers.
You said felon, not fella, right? You mean felon?
No, that was a felon with an N at the end. Yes, that's a felon. That's a felon. But what did you guys? I wasn't able to because we're on Grit Week this week, so we're out in Colorado. We're traveling around in an RV. We just went to Jake Plummer's mushroom farm.
Oh.
Interviewed him at So we interviewed him there, but I wasn't able to catch what you guys said about the interview yesterday, so give it to me. Like, tell me what I did wrong, what I did right, give it to me.
I think that you hit an enormous high notes suggesting to Aaron that you've won significantly more Super Bowls than he has.
You
I thought that was beautiful.
Going. Yes.
Beautifully stated.
I got 10.
Yeah.
I got 10. Aaron Rodgers is 11-10 in the playoffs. I have 10 Super Bowl rings because every time he loses, I'm actually, you know what, this is how stupid I am. I actually think I'm gonna make some rings for myself for each loss.
That's good.
So when he loses this year, I'll look like Bill Russell. I'll have like 11 rings on my hand. So I think I'm going to. You guys know I don't really spend my money wisely. This feels like a perfect thing to waste a couple grand on to just buy rings commemorating every time Aaron Rodgers gets bounced from the playoffs.
Yeah, nice. You're going to lose it some other way, that's for sure.
Right.
I thought, though, I thought I was worried about you because I thought there was a time where he had you under his speaking of mushrooms, his sort of loving way. And when he complimented you, and I texted you about this, about how good you look, and I thought you started to melt a little bit and the ice went away for a couple of minutes at least.
It did. He did. I knew going in he was going to try to win me over with kindness. And I did say at the end, like, I respect him a little bit more because he came on. I'll always respect anyone who comes on the show. But I hate him. I hate his guts. I really do. I still hate him.
Did you?
And I gave him that gift with Shea McClellan pictures, breaking his collarbone at the end. That was pretty mean of me. That was very mean of me, actually. Like, I walked away being like, ooh, that was kind of mean. But I don't regret anything.
At any point, did you think the interview was over when you guys asked him how many grandmothers he had killed?
So here's the thing. That was a good lesson that PFT and I sometimes have to learn.
You saved it. You saved the conversation.
We did. If there's one thing I know how to do well, it's to reroute a conversation when a guest is like, ooh, I don't like you guys. But that was one of those ones that, you know, we don't really live in the real world. So when we go out into the real world and we say something that we've been joking about in, you know, the confines of our studio on, you know, ears that haven't heard those jokes before, it's kind of like, wait, what did you guys just say? Are you guys really joking about, like, grandmothers that die from COVID? And then when you get it repeated back to you, you're like, oh, yeah, that is kind of messed up. You're right. Good point. So, yeah, you know, maybe not the best.
Score one for Aaron.
Yeah, score one for Aaron. But he was smiling. So, you know, it was all in good fun.
We played some of the excerpts. And like, he sort of, as someone who dislikes him, too, but respects him, when he was talking about WGN and Harry Caray and watching the Bulls back in the day, I'm like, oh, he appreciates Chicago at least. This is kind of cool. You know, I softened up a little bit.
Yeah, he had in the story about how, you know, he almost stopped playing sports altogether and, like, you know, hearing about that, like how he almost gave up and he came back. Like, there were a couple moments where I was like, I don't hate this guy, but then I had to snap myself back into it. And you know what? Like, once the season starts, because the biggest takeaway, which I knew the answer to, sometimes you guys know this, when you ask a question in the interview business, you know the answer before, but you still got to ask it. When I was like, do you like beating the Bears? Like, you relish in it? He's like, oh, yeah, I relish in that. And, like, we know that, but I just wanted to hear him say it so I can just be like, oh, I really hate you.
At any point did you think about, like, accidentally stepping on his Achilles or anything?
I was thinking about maybe like grabbing his hand. He's got big hands though.
He's got
big hands. Yeah, but I wanted to like grab his hand, twist his finger or something. That would have been great. What if I had just Shane McClelland him?
Yeah.
Jumped on his collarbone.
I thought Shane McClellan took it on the chin during the interview, quite frankly. I thought, like, he brought up, like, that was his highlight when he knocked me out. And then the story came up that Shane McClellan apologized before the game that was for the division. So Shea's already apologizing to Aaron Rodgers right before the big game in 2013. I thought it was a bad interview for Shea.
It was. He probably was minding his own business wherever he is. He's like, wait, what's going on right now? But I will always remember Shane McClellan knocking him out of that game and breaking his collarbone. And I remember being at the bar and we all went crazy and we're like, he's done. And then that's the problem with Aaron Rodgers. He always comes back for more. I don't understand how this guy, like, we got to get him retired. He said 3 to 4 more years. Yeah. So let's start the countdown. And hopefully that's the case.
If he called you at the end of this upcoming season, say, hey, Big Cat, I want to further bury the hatchet here. I'd like for you to travel with me to Costa Rica. And we're going to go through this entire body cleansing process. Ooh. Would you take him up on it?
Yeah, I told you last week I would take him up on it because I would take one for all Bears fans. I would try to intentionally overdose on ayahuasca, die, and then be like Aaron Rodgers finally. And like, I would die. I don't care if you guys, if I died and then
for the Bears fans,
you guys were like, yeah, but then I, you know, put a statue, you know, of me out at Arlington Heights when the new stadium opens because I'm the one who got Aaron Rodgers in jail. I'm fine with that.
I was going to ask you, where would you want it? So you want it at Arlington Heights right at the front of the new stadium?
Yeah, right, exactly. Maybe put me on a horse so we get a little, like, homage to the racetrack. Just like, why is that guy riding a horse? He never rode a horse. Like, no, just put me on a horse.
Let's just put you on a lion.
Yeah, put me on a horse with a sword and be like, is this guy fighting the Revolutionary Wars? Oh, no, he just overdosed on ayahuasca and died in Ecuador, so Aaron Rodgers couldn't torture the Bears anymore.
This ain't Detroit. Beautiful. No lion in front of the Bears stadium. It'd be a bear or a horse because it used to be a racetrack.
Yeah.
Or a bear.
Yeah, but a horse is boring. Something, get a dragon. No. Sit on a dragon.
A dragon.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
Yeah. Well, you died, you know, taking all kinds of hallucinogens, right? So let's make it some sort of mythical creature. You were flying to a better place on the wings of a dragon.
All right, I'm going to say this right now. If I die overdosing on ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers, I am letting you guys decide my way.
Okay, yes.
Okay, good. Excellent.
That specific.
It's a good show topic.
Yeah, if that's specific circumstances, then you guys decide my will.
We'll open up the phone lines then, yeah, and we'll help have the listeners do it. So PFT referenced this in the episode yesterday, before you guys played the interview. How pissed were you when the ayahuasca podcast came out? And that was like huge news, and you had recorded it the day before that came out.
Yeah, that kind of stunk, but I also we talk about white whales, like Aaron Rodgers. It was incredible to be able to interview him. I didn't think I'd ever get to be in the same room with him and face him and say all the things I've been saying to him on Twitter. So yeah, it was a little bummer, but it also was I don't care, because our interview, if he had done a different sports podcast right before, and then it got released right before ours, I'd be a little more upset. That podcast was weird. He was just sitting there with his little ponytail and just talking about weird stuff. Not for me.
Did you get a feel on how he feels about his football team this year? Or you just didn't even cross that conversation?
I feel like we saw LaFleur for a little bit too. I think LaFleur's got a little bit of a swagger about him. He feels pretty confident. I think their defense is going to be good, which stinks, that's the problem, is that they probably are going to take a step back offensively because of Davante Adams, but if their defense is really good and their special teams can get better, we're already in trouble. So, the Bears are a dumpster fire. I've said it. Today is just a bummer. I have a theory. Do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, so my theory is that Ryan Poles doing a good job, got in front of everyone today. I like that. Met it head on. I have a theory that Ryan Poles, though, listened to a one and only Tom Waddle 2 weeks ago say that Roquan Smith is not a top 10 most important Bear this year.
Wow.
And decided, hey, you know what? I don't have to offer him that much money. Let me offer him some backloaded stuff that he'll never make. I think the front office is listening to Waddle too much, and they took the cues from him, and that's how we've gotten to this spot.
Terrible list. What a terrible list that was. And
crazy.
And because they went to the same school, they're BC brothers.
That's right.
Maybe call
Matty Ice and have a little, a little three-way conversation.
What?
Here.
You say conversation.
I did say conversation,
Connect the dots. I'm just saying, this whole thing is, the problem is Roquan is not a premier position right now. So there is that, we're stuck as always of, you don't want to overpay him because an off-ball linebacker in 2022 is just not, you need a guy. That's Waddle's original point. A wide receiver or a guy who rushes the edge is more important. But he's still a very, very good player. And what are we going to do? We'll let him walk for, a third-round pick? That's crazy.
No, listen, this is what I would, if he asked me, this is what I would tell him. 5 years and $90 million is an equitable deal. It puts him just behind two guys that are better than him. Shaq Leonard and Fred Warner. He'd be the third highest paid off-ball linebacker in all of the National Football League.
What record-setting things what do you believe that they've offered him that would break records?
There's got to be some bonus thing or the biggest bonus structure. I don't know. The whole thing, it's disappointing because it just feels like we're always in this spot and you want to give the benefit of the doubt to the new GM and he's got a mess to clean up, and it's not going to be cleaned up in one. There's not one move that makes the Bears good again instantly. It's a process. So, Roquan fits into that bigger puzzle. But if we let Roquan Smith go or trade him, I don't think you're going to get a lot of value back. I just don't think there's teams that are clamoring for Roquan. As good of a player as he is, teams know that that's not a premier position. That's not a position that's going to win you a championship. You need it. And he's great, but it's not, it's not a left tackle, it's not an edge rusher, it's not a quarterback, and there's just a difference there.
Big Cat, what worries me, and I'm not, I'm still giving him the benefit of the doubt, like you said, but I envisioned when you said he had a lot of mess to clean up. I imagine, this really bad mess in a grocery store, clean up on aisle 8. And there's mess all over. The ketchup is spilled and this over here. And then the klutzy stock boy comes over and he's got the mop and the bucket out. And as he's mopping, he's knocking over other stuff. So what I worry about is that Poles is not only trying to clean up Pace's mess, but I believe I'm worried that he's creating his own mess while trying to clean up the prior regime's mess. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, I mean, this is like, all right, so let's say Roquan, everything gets figured out. Let's say next week he has a new contract. What happened today is still a mess. It still happened. A star player going public and going on Twitter and being like, they don't respect me, note zap. Once you get note zapped, it's over. Like, you can't get note zapped. So, that is a mess in its own right, and I wish it hadn't happened, and I agree with you. Like, I don't know. It's just the whole thing just bums me out, yet again, bums me out. And I imagine if they do trade Roquan for a pick, like, this team is going to be so, so bad because it's just going to be a disaster to watch.
Well, he doesn't have really any leverage. I mean, look, he's got to play this year to get his service time, which would then make him a free agent at the end of this year. And even if that was the case and he did play, the Bears could then franchise tag him. I mean, so, like, I don't know. Even if you tried to trade him, if that team wasn't willing to give him what he wanted contractually, then you're not going to get anything in return.
I don't want a repeat of Allen Robinson, where a guy is disenchanted with what he's been tasked with or the way he's been treated, not perform up to snuff, and in the end, we lose a player of value for zero.
Right, right. And this is just, again, I mean, it feels like we're going back to, you know, what the Bulls are trying to fight against and have been able to fight against a little here is you don't want the reputation out there that this is an ownership group and a GM that doesn't want to pay guys. And like, the whole thing is a mess. I tweeted, I was like, I just want to forget this happened because I'm on the road and I can kind of just pretend like this isn't going on. And maybe Roquan will just be signed tomorrow morning when I wake up.
Okay. If you found out that Roquan is asking for $21 million a year and wants to be the highest paid middle linebacker, off ball linebacker in football, you giving him that contract?
Here's my thing. It's like the salary cap doesn't make any sense to me in the NFL. So sure. I still don't understand what the salary, like the Saints have been, I've been told the Saints are going to be not a franchise anymore because of their salary cap problem. The Rams keep trading away every pick and their salary cap makes no sense. So I just, yeah, why not? Like, I just think the cap can be manipulated in so many different ways. And yeah.
So you want to start paying guys more than they're worth because the salary cap is mysterious.
Okay. When you put it that way and you say it back to me, that's stupid.
It's kind of like the dead grandma thing.
Yeah, that's bad. Okay, yeah, you're right. You just rephrased what I said, and now, for some reason, it sounded better coming out of my mouth. But if that's what I said, then I'm an idiot.
I don't think you are, or not for that reason. I'm with you that if you sign him, it shouldn't limit you for doing other things that you need to do. Because you can be flexible, and you can maneuver around it. If you're good.
No, you're right, but it's your whole quarterback philosophy from years ago.
No,
you don't pay
right.
him what he wants just because it's his turn. If he's not the best middle linebacker, off linebacker in football, you don't pay him as such just because his contract is up now. Right?
That's my philosophy, yes.
So this is really what it comes down to, is the Bears are trying, and Ryan Poles is trying, to act like a real organization that has a philosophy, that has a plan. And the problem is for him, it's not his fault, but he's jumping in midstream.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he's jumping into an organization that doesn't have these things.
Yeah.
So then to implement them, it's hard.
How weird is this? This was a stat that Meller brought up. In 4 years, I love Roquan. I think he's a fantastic player. I don't think he's the best off-ball linebacker in the league, but I think he's a fantastic player. He's got one forced fumble in 4 years. Shaq Leonard has 17.
And he hasn't been practicing. I heard Peanut was at camp. What? Wasn't he like last week teaching guys how to do the peanut punch? Roquan wasn't there for that. That's a problem.
He was there. He just was.
Private session. They were giving him a private session.
Okay, fine. He was there, but he probably wasn't paying attention. He wanted his money.
A private nut punch session.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Think about that. Peanut Tillman's a cornerback and has like
50
forced fumbles. Roquan's a middle linebacker, had one.
Yeah.
In 4 years.
Yeah.
Really quick, before we have White Sox baseball, I want to know more about this. Jake Plummer is an intriguing guy. So you being in Colorado, I remember when he retired prematurely and then he's playing handball, I think it was. And now you're telling me he's got a mushroom. mushroom farm?
Yep, he's got a mushroom farm. Fascinating guy, because it's just, you know, the old saying, like, the, you know, the NFL retires you, you don't retire from the NFL. Well, no, this was a guy who retired at 32 with a $7 million contract from the Bucks and was like, no, I'm done. He's just... It's a crazy story, and he's a really, really cool guy, and it was a lot of fun to go and see his mushroom farm. I know nothing about it. It's not the illegal mushrooms.
Okay.
It's the legal mushrooms. But it was, yeah, I mean, it was crazy, and he's as, like, chill and cool as ever, and he's got the hair and the flip-flops, just one of those guys that you see him, you're like, man, this guy, I just want to hang out with him.
It's kind of an odd request, isn't it? Hey, Jake, show me your mushroom.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see the mushroom tops.
Does he still have the mustache going? Didn't he have a mustache at one point?
He did. He had a beard for Pat Tillman. He wore it. He grew out the beard for his former teammate at both the Cardinals and Arizona Sun Devils for Pat Tillman. But, yeah, he doesn't have it anymore, but he's still got the long hair, looking great.
All right. Have fun on Grit Week. We'll be listening. We appreciate you, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, brother.
All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
There you go. Barstool Big Cat from Colorado Jake Plummer's Mushroom Farm.
By the way, this hour is brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Step up to the plate and start your career in welding or HVACR at ETI School of Skilled Trades. Visit eticampus.edu to learn more.
So what did Tony La Russa say really quick as we go into Sox pregame? Russell Dorsey broke the story that Tim Anderson is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with the torn ligament in his thumb. So, but La Russa still wouldn't confirm it, correct?
Right. He says he's being looked at. There was a tweet from
Darryl Van Schoen.
Yes, that described that Tony was aware of it and that they were going to get it looked at. But as of right now, there was nothing definite. That's what he said. So.
All right. Well, like the news keeps on piling up. You just expect this team to build up some momentum at some point. We kept talking about the schedule. We kept talking about getting healthy. But now this would be a major blow for a player who not only needed to be in the lineup, but start producing more.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our eye on that. Connor McKnight will have more coming up in the White Sox pregame. You'll have two games today.
Yeah, you get the Royals for a couple today.
Yeah.
Take care of business.
Go sweep it. Thank you to Barstool Big Cat and Courtney Cronin. A really interesting day today, and we'll continue to be back for a full ride tomorrow between 2 and 6 o'clock. So be listening for that. Thanks to Meller and Tyler. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. White Sox baseball up next. Have yourself a great Tuesday.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.